Rebecca Bloomwood lives a life of delicious contradiction. By day, she dispenses financial wisdom as a journalist at Successful Saving magazine. By night, she's drowning in credit card debt, hiding bank statements, and convincing herself that a $200 designer scarf is an investment. Her financial journalism career happened almost by accident. After being rejected from more interesting publications, she landed at Successful Saving despite knowing practically nothing about finance. 3 years later, she's still waiting for someone to expose her as a fraud. When we first meet Rebecca, she's staring at her Visa bill in terror, hoping it won't exceed $300. The actual amount? A staggering $949.63. Yet her shopping addiction is both her joy and her downfall. That Denny and George scarf isn't an indulgence. It's an investment piece that makes her eyes look bigger and her haircut more expensive. A magazine isn't an unnecessary expense, it's research. Her financial denial runs deep, but her optimism runs deeper. Surely her situation will magically resolve itself, perhaps through a lottery win or a wealthy relative's unexpected bequest? What makes Rebecca so endearing is how familiar her justifications feel. Haven't we all, at some point, convinced ourselves we deserve something we can't afford? Rebecca's approach to money problems is both creative and concerning. Bank statements remain unopened, and calls from her bank manager, Derek Smith, are dodged with elaborate lies about dead aunts and sick dogs. When confronted with her spending, Rebecca's mental accounting is remarkably creative. Certain purchases simply don't count because they're essential or on sale. Her financial avoidance extends to conversations, following a sliding scale system when discussing prices with her mother, reducing them by up to 90%. A 150 DKNY skirt becomes about 50 quid. When attempting to follow advice from controlling your cash, she swings to the extreme of spending absolutely nothing. This approach quickly fails when her homemade lunch disappoints and she's caught marking a cookbook at Smith's, ultimately buying it for $24.99 as an investment. The pinnacle of her avoidance comes when she flees to her parents' house, claiming Derek Smith is actually a stalker. But as she'll discover, running away doesn't solve anything. For Rebecca, shopping isn't just an activity. It's a visceral experience that transforms her mood and temporarily fills voids in her life. When she enters a store, problems fade, replaced by the intoxicating possibility of reinvention through the perfect purchase. "The moment I slide my card out of my wallet, I feel a rush of pure pleasure," she confesses. "I feel powerful, like I can do anything." It's not about owning the item. It's about that moment of buying it, when it could still be everything she's dreamed of. The aftermath is where reality crashes in. At Octagon, her favorite store, after accumulating $370.56 of unnecessary items, both cards are declined and her store card retained. Standing surrounded by items she can't afford, Rebecca experiences the crushing weight of her financial decisions. Each purchase represents a potential new identity, more sophisticated, successful, worthy of admiration. Yet these very purchases push her further from financial stability. Rebecca's relationships highlight stark financial differences. Her flatmate Suze comes from wealth. Her parents bought her Fulham flat, and she receives trust fund allowance money. Despite this disparity, Suze charges Rebecca below market rent and understands her shopping passion. Rebecca's parents represent contrasting money philosophies. Her father advocates CB or MMM, cut back or make more money, practical advice Rebecca ignores. Her mother ironically shares Rebecca's shopping tendencies, constantly buying new kitchen items and donating old ones. The contrast sharpens when friend Ellie leaves journalism for a fund manager position at Weatherby's, nearly doubling Rebecca's salary. As Ellie transforms, wearing red suits, pearl earrings, and discussing investments enthusiastically, Rebecca feels left behind. The most dramatic contrast comes from Suze's cousin Tarquin, worth $25 million. Rebecca immediately fantasizes about becoming Mrs. Tarquin Cleath Stewart to solve her financial troubles. Their date ends disastrously when Tarquin catches Rebecca snooping through this checkbook after she refuses his offer to donate $5,000 to her invented aunt's foundation. Luke Brandon enters Rebecca's life as an intimidating figure, tall, dark-eyed, wearing an expensive suit, and exuding confidence as the head of Brandon Communications. Their first encounter establishes a pattern: Rebecca bluffing about financial news, Luke seeing through her deception. When Luke loans Rebecca $20 after overhearing her mention an aunt in hospital, he later catches her using it to buy the Denny and George scarf she coveted. Despite her embarrassment, Rebecca finds herself drawn to him. Their relationship evolves when Luke invites her shopping at Harrods, where they test suitcases together with surprising chemistry. Rebecca falls for a beautiful beige calfskin case, which Luke purchases, only to casually mention it's for Sasha, his girlfriend. Their paths cross professionally when Rebecca exposes Flagstaff Life's investor fraud. During a televised debate, Luke surprisingly supports her, praising her fine investigative journalism. Later, he reveals Sasha left him and invites Rebecca to dinner at the Ritz, where their professional relationship transforms into something far more intimate. Rebecca's transformation begins when Eric Foreman from The Daily World asks her to write about Flagstaff Life's deceptive practices. Her well-researched article, "Couple Cheated by Fat Cats at Flagstaff Life," earns her $400 and an invitation to debate Luke Brandon on Morning Coffee. Despite facing Luke's prepared team, Rebecca creates a simple retail analogy about Nicole Farhi coats to explain the complex situation. Surprisingly, Luke agrees with her completely and praises her article. This victory transforms Rebecca into the show's phone-in financial expert. On the Morning Coffee sofa, she confidently answers viewers' questions with pension statistics and practical advice. When Fran calls about overwhelming debt and compulsive shopping, Rebecca recognizes her own story and advises Fran to confront her problems directly. This moment of self-awareness coincides with Rebecca spotting debt collector Derek Smith in the studio. Instead of running, she decides to face him, committing to a meeting. With her new income, she'll finally pay off her debts and begin a financially responsible life. Rebecca struggles to balance her shopping addiction, finances, and relationships with her identity deeply tied to her purchases. "Shopping is actually very similar to banking," she rationalizes. "If you're not happy with what you've got, you just keep going back for more options." Her relationship with Luke represents her most significant step toward balance. Initially viewing him as intimidating, their connection evolves through professional and personal encounters, culminating in their night at the Ritz. Beside Luke, Rebecca feels completely transformed, dreamy, sated, and blissful, believing she's become a new Rebecca with different priorities. Yet old habits persist. Even in this moment of transformation, she orders NK Malone sunglasses from TV as her final luxury purchase and leaves a message for Derek Smith rather than keeping her appointment. Rebecca's journey isn't about becoming someone different, but integrating all aspects of herself: financial expert, shopaholic, friend, daughter, and potentially Luke's partner. Finding balance among these elements continues beyond the novel's conclusion.